Tonight, if you would, take your Bibles, turn to 1 Kings chapter number 18. 1 Kings chapter number 18. Last week, we began in chapter 17, and we dealt with some things about Elijah, the man of God, or Elijah, the servant of God. And tonight, I want to continue on sort of in that thought. Probably tonight and next Wednesday, we'll have another lesson on this. There's so many things here in these few chapters that give us about the work of the Lord, good understanding about the difference between people, how they serve the Lord, how they honor God, and sometimes how they do not honor the Lord as they should. And so tonight we're in chapter number 18. We used a couple of verses there last week, but I'm going to start back in verse number 1, and we'll read down through verse number 16. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 1. It came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go show thyself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go to the land, to the fountains of water, and unto the brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beast. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself. Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him. And he knew him and fell on his face and said, Art thou my Lord Elijah? And he said unto him, I am. Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant unto the hand of Ahab to slay me? And as the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom where my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said he is not here, he took an oath of kingdoms and nations that they found thee not. Now thou sayest, Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord will carry thee, whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord that what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? How that I hid 100 of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water. And now thou sayest, Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went and to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And we leave off our reading there. Last week we dealt a little bit with verse number 17 when Elijah meets Ahab. Ahab accuses Elijah of being the problem. He accuses him of troubling Israel. And of course it was not Elijah that was the trouble, but it was was Ahab. So last week we dealt with Elijah, the servant, the man of God, and the faithfulness that he had unto the Lord, and how that God used him and blessed him, gave him protection, fed him when there was no food available, gave him water when water was scarce, gave him protection and guidance in everything that he did, because he was a man, really, you could say he was sold out unto the Lord. But now tonight we come and find another man, and his name is Obadiah. Now, Ahab, he preached a bold message toward this wicked king, and in chapter 17, he said, As the Lord liveth, it's not going to rain and unless it's in my word. And Elijah, he named the sin, and he named the sinner. He said, You're the problem. And so Elijah was very forthwith and very strong in his message. He believed the word of God. He believed that God would do what he said he would do, and he proclaimed that message to Ahab. He practiced his beliefs. He proclaimed his beliefs as a believer in of Jehovah. And he feared God unwaveringly. He did not waver. Elijah was very, very strong, very settled in his servitude unto the Lord, and so he just did not waver. He certainly did not have any going back on some of the words, and he was a excellent servant of the Lord. Excellent servant of the Lord is always skilled in the scriptures and the word of God, and I believe Elijah would qualify for that. He was one that avoided the unholy, and he is the one that classified and named Elijah or Ahab as the sinner. He was the one that was committed to hard work, and he preaches and he tells Ahab that it's just not going to rain at the word of God. And Elijah says it's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain. And so we go through those 3 years and we come to chapter 17. And in verse number 3, we find that they are hurting for water. We mentioned last week a little bit about when there's no water, everything dries up. And here they are fearful of their cattle dying and their horses dying and their mules dying. And so they go out and are searching maybe that they can find grass for food and water for their animals. But there's a strange statement here in these verses that we read tonight. It's sort of seems like it's out of place. It seems like it's something that is not as it should be. And in verses 3 through 6, we have here, I just classified it as the secret service of Obadiah. Now, Elijah was not a secret servant. Elijah was very well known as the man of God. And Elijah didn't draw back anything, but you have another man here by the name of Obadiah. Now, you can't fully condemn him because of some of the things that he did, and you certainly can't commend him because of some of the things that he did not do and some of the things that he did against the Lord. But there's a phrase here that is that stands out, maybe it's just sort of out of the way. And the scripture says here in verse number 3, Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. So that means he had a lot of authority. Here's Obadiah. He's the governor. He's the overseer of Ahab's household. And so we could pretty well say that he's far up in the political system and the ruling and the reigning of the people of Israel. But you'll notice there's a parenthesis there. And the Lord gives us a little insight into this man, Obadiah. He says, "Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly." Really? Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. Now that statement seems so out of context with the way that Obadiah is living. It would be sort of like, when you look at this, it'd be sort of like you and I working for an abortion clinic. I mean, here's a man that says he fears God, but yet he's in the household, he's in the government, he's in the leadership of this wicked king, Ahab, and doing everything that he can do to make things work and to make sure their animals live. And when you explore Obadiah's life, you'll find that he's a secret, possibly servant of God. There's some things, a lot of things wrong. And you certainly see a contrast between this man and the man Elijah. You see a contrast between good and bad. You see a contrast between one dedicated and one not so dedicated. You see that contrast between one that is willing to stand before the king and tell him, "You're the problem," and here's another man that stands with the king and doesn't see a whole lot of problem with him. And so here's a secret service of this man called Obadiah. He's a man that you cannot totally, as I said, you cannot exonerate, nor can you totally condemn. because he did do some things that was right. He did do some things that was, I'm sure, pleasing unto the Lord. But his glaring, his example is an example of selfishness and self-centeredness. And I read this the other day. It says, he is a great example of a poor example of many that live a Christian life today. So he's a great example of a poor example. So that means he was pretty well, he's a good example of telling you how not to do it. He's a good example of telling you how not to be a servant. And so he is a believer. He fears the Lord in his heart. He has some things that he's done that is correct and right. But yet he is overtaken by the fear of the world that's around him. He's overtaken because he is looking to the wrong sovereign. He's looking to the wrong leader. He's looking to the wrong one that has control of the things and the affairs of man. As we've already seen, Elijah is totally sold out unto the Lord, and Obadiah is sold out unto Ahab. Elijah gives it all for the Lord, and Obadiah, he just gives everything for his Lord, his sovereign, his king, which was Ahab. The verses here tell us that he is governor of the household of Ahab. That meant he ran things. That meant he had a lot of authority. That meant he had a lot of power. And a lot of times authority and power will diminish your relationship and fellowship with the Lord because of position and because of not wanting to lose that position. So Obadiah, he occupied a high position in the court of Israel, but he did not have too much going spiritually for him. And so when the prophet Elijah meets him, he sees him, he knows him. And you'll notice the play on words here, I believe, of Elijah. And he tells us in verse number 3 that he feared the Lord greatly, for it was so when Jezebel cut off, and he gives us those things that he did good. And he tells us here in verse number 7, Obadiah, he goes his way. Ahab goes his way. They're searching for nourishment and water for their animals. And when he meets Elijah, he knew who he was. I'll guarantee you, everybody in Israel knew who Elijah was. They knew his command. They knew his words. They knew that he is one that has pronounced judgment of God upon them. And here's Obadiah, this secret servant of the Lord. He meets Elijah, and he says, it tells us that he fell on his face and said, Art thou that my Lord Elijah? Are you my Lord Elijah? And Elijah says, I am. Now notice the play on words here that Elijah says to Obadiah. In verse number 8, he answered him, I am. Go tell, what's the next two words there? Thy Lord. Go tell thy Lord. Elijah knew what was wrong with Obadiah. Elijah knew some things about him. And here Obadiah has met Elijah. He said, Art thou my Lord, Elijah? And he said, I am, but you go tell your Lord. And you'll notice there he calls him thy Lord in verse 8. And verse number 11, go tell thy Lord. Verse number 13, was it not told my Lord what did Jezebel? And verse number 14, he says, go tell thy Lord. Behold, Elijah's here. And so here Elijah says, you call me your Lord, and I'm telling you, you've got another Lord that you look to more than me, and more and even to the work of the God of heaven. Now, Obadiah was a believer, because you have to believe what the Scripture says. He did fear God. He had a fear of the Lord. He understood. He knew who God was, but yet he was a compromiser, and he was living a life of compromise. He is the one that knows the Lord, but because of power and prosperity and position and prestige, he is the one that keeps these things secret from Ahab. You can be assured that if Ahab had known anything about Obadiah's faith, he wouldn't have sent him out looking for grass and water. because Ahab was a hater of the men of God. Ahab was a hater of those that trusted the Lord. And we find here that they even cut off the heads of the prophets of God. And I'm sure he would have done the same thing to Obadiah if he had known. Now, we can have a lot of things in our heart and never express it to the world. And the Lord may know, and we may know the Lord, but nobody else knows that we know. We're that secret servant of God that really accomplishes very little. And so because of his power, his household, and the position that he held, he is keeping his faith a secret. He is keeping it away from Ahab. He has sold out for personal gain. I'm sure if we know very many people down through life's pathway that have been Christians, we probably know some that have sold out for a lot less than just what this man did. There are those that have sold out for the works of the world and the things of this world for personal gain. I remember Brother Roloff, he told the story about a boy and a dog, and the dog, Brother Roloff, I think it's a true story. He asked the little boy what kind of dog it was, and it was just a mutt. But he said, "This dog is a German police dog." And Brother Roloff asked, told the boy, he said, "I don't think so. He don't look like a German shepherd or a German police." And the boy told him, said, "Well, he works undercover." Well, there's a lot of people that live that way. They work undercover. They look like they are nothing, and we think maybe they are something. And I heard Brother Roloff tell that one time on a radio broadcast, and the little boy said he's a dog that works undercover. And so we find here this man is a man that's working undercover, full of compromise. And Margaret Thatcher, former Prime Minister of England, she made a statement one night. She said, "You can walk down the middle of the road if you want to, but you're going to get hit from both sides." And how true that is. You're not going to make friends on either side. They're both going to throw at you. And so a compromising Christian can walk down the middle of the road, but he's not happy. He's not satisfied in the things of life. And probably the most miserable person in the world is one that's trying to hold on to the world and hold on to the things of the Lord at the same time. And the Bible tells us in the New Testament it's impossible to do that. You're going to love one and do away with the other, or you're going to take the other and do away with the one. And so here we find Obadiah has the wrong sovereign. He has the wrong ruler. He has the wrong Lord. He knew Elijah. He knew Elijah's Lord. And he knew that he was under this prophet Elijah. He knew that he was under him. And he said, "Are you Elijah, my Lord?" Elijah immediately said, I'm Elijah. He said, "But you go tell your Lord. You have a Lord that you consider more important than I. You have a Lord that you consider more important than what I am and what I'm doing." And so we find that Obadiah had a secret service, and he had the wrong sovereign. He had the wrong thing to do. Obadiah becomes very fearful. We find here in these words that we read, Elijah says, you go tell Ahab I'm here. And immediately Obadiah's real true character comes out. He said, "Well, if I go tell him," said, "he's gone all around the world. He's gone all around the kingdom and the nations looking for you and can't find you." You know why he's looking for him? He wanted to kill him. Because he felt like Elijah was the prophet that was causing trouble. And so Obadiah says he has gone from nation to nation, from kingdom to kingdom, looking for you and has not found you. And he said, "Now what you're going to do?" He said, "Why put me in jeopardy? Because I'll go tell Ahab that you're here, and when he comes, you'll be gone and he'll kill me." And so Obadiah was concerned for his own flesh more than anything else. I think it's a strange thing here too, is Elijah and as Ahab and Obadiah go searching for grass and for food and for nourishment. You'll notice here, it's not for the people. It's not for the people under Ahab. It's for their animals. It's for their own good. It was for their armament. It was for their possible battles that he might have. And so he's not caring for the for his subjects. He's not caring for the citizens of Israel. They just had to do the best they could, but they're going out and they're looking for water and looking for grass for their mules. Isn't that a shame? And so here they go, and Elijah shows up in the pathway of Obadiah. You know, the Lord, sometimes he does just send people in our pathway to get our attention. The Lord knows where we are. The Lord knows what condition we're in. The Lord knows what we need. And so sometimes there will be an Elijah come in our pathway, and he'll say a few words and we'll know that he has the message from God. And I believe this man, Obadiah, as he talks to Elijah and he hears the words of Elijah, he has the fear comes up in his heart. He says, Ahab will just kill me. He's been looking for you. You know how long he'd been looking for him? 3 years. Chapter 17 is the announcement of the drought, or the pronouncement of not having any rain for these years. Chapter 18 tells us that after many days, and we know that it's been 3 years, and now things are dried up, parched, and there's a great famine in the land. And Obadiah is fearful because Elijah said, "Go tell Ahab I'm here." You don't have to worry about Elijah running, because the Lord had told him. And in verse 1, it says, "Came to pass after many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, 'Go show thyself to Ahab.'" Elijah knew his task. Elijah knew his pathway. He knew where he was going. And he meets this secret, weak, compromising servant that fears the Lord in certain aspects. And he meets him and says, "You go tell your Lord that Elijah is here." Now, as I said, Obadiah is fearful. And he's afraid, but he didn't have to be, because Elijah knew exactly his mission. When we're on the right side of the Lord, when we're serving God, we can know our mission. Obadiah didn't have a clear-cut mission in life. He didn't have anything that was before him that he could really live for. All he could do is think about what he did in the past. All he can do is remember what good things he has done. But now he has been in Ahab's kingdom and his governorship for so long that those things are just something that you talk about. It's just something that you talk about how it used to be. Well, there's a lot of Christians tonight that live in the used to be times. There's a lot of Christians that live in how it was in days gone by. Well, we live right now, and God's the same God now as he was in those days. And he's the same Lord. He's the same one. Elijah is living for the God of Israel. Obadiah is living for his safety and security in the household of Ahab. Now, he's a secret. He's in a secret service. Nobody knows. Only he and Elijah. He knows Elijah, and Elijah knows him. And Elijah very clearly tells him, "You have the wrong ruler. You go tell your Lord." I can just almost imagine the tone of voice that Elijah had with Obadiah. Almost a sarcastic type voice. "Go tell your Lord. You call me thy Lord. You go tell your Lord. You're working for him, not for the Lord of heaven." But you'll notice that this man, Obadiah, as complicated and as much of a compromiser as he is, we find that he has a secret. And he lives in that secret life of what used to be. In verse number 4, "For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord And Obadiah took 100 prophets, hid them by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water. I wonder now, why was he working for Ahab? Why was he in the governor, in the rulership of this wicked man and woman, Ahab and Jezebel? You know, the scripture tells us so much about those two people. The Bible says they were wicked in the sight of God. They were more wicked than those before and even many of those that were after. They were, I heard a preacher say one time, it's bad to have a bad man, but it's doubly bad to have a bad man and a bad woman. And here we find that Ahab and Jezebel are ruling over the people of God, and they are so foreign and far away and wicked that they lead Israel so far away from God, and to the point that Jezebel cuts off 100 prophets, the prophets of God. They purge the land of the Word of God. She purges the land of those men that would stand and proclaim what Elijah, and she will kill him if she could. And it scares Elijah to death later on. And so sometimes we get on and we think about how weak Elijah became because he feared Jezebel. Well, Elijah's no superhuman just like we are not. He just comes on the scene, but in the Bible in the New Testament says he's a man of like passions. He's no different than anybody else. And so later on when he is beheaded and killed the prophets of Baal, Jezebel makes a proclamation. She says, "By this time tomorrow he'll be dead." And Ahab runs. Sometimes we ridicule him for that, but I'd probably outrun him. And you probably would too, because she means what she says. She is going to kill him. And so she has already killed 100. At her command, 100 of the prophets of God were cut off. They were destroyed. They were killed. He is in a position now that he, where he was able to protect some of those people. He cut off those that were destroyed, cut off the prophets of the Lord, and Obadiah took 100 of those and protected them. He put 50 in a cave and 50 in a cave, and he took care of their water, he took care of their nourishment. And that's, you feed 100 people every day, see how much. And so you can't totally condemn Obadiah, because he had a secret here that was good. Here Jezebel has destroyed him and makes command to destroy, and he saves 100 of the prophets of God. His devotion here, but he's a closet believer. He doesn't want anybody to know. He wants to keep it a secret. He wants to hold it within, and he knew what it meant. He actually had two secrets that if Ahab knew, he meant death for Obadiah and those secrets. What were they? He had a devotion. The Bible says here that he feared the Lord. It not only says he feared, it says he feared the Lord how? Greatly. He had a fear in his heart for the Lord, and that word Lord there is Jehovah. So he knew who God was. He knew who Jehovah was. He knew who the God of Israel was, and he had a fear. He had a certain amount of devotion to this. He believes in God. He fears Jehovah, but he isn't about to tell anybody for fear of his own life. He's not about to make it known, because Jezebel is after anybody that is a believer and a prophet of God. And especially if she knew he protected those 100, he's dead. And so Obadiah is weak in his flesh. He is greatly, he loves the Lord in his heart, but his flesh is weak and he's fearful of that. And he cannot declare his faith. He will not declare his faith. He keeps from, he keeps the things in his heart toward God away from everybody else. It'd be interesting to know how he kept from bowing to Baal. He may have. I mean, he has to play the part really well. So he had a devotion. And if Ahab and Jezebel knew his devotion, he would die. And he had his deeds. He saved 100 of those prophets. She's going to exterminate them. Obadiah takes 100 and hides them in a cave. And this certainly took a lot of courage. So he's not all bad, but he's not all good. Obadiah is a problemed Christian. He's a troubled, what we would call a lukewarm Christian. It's what the New Testament talks about. The things that he did, it required courage. It required effort. It required expense on the part of Obadiah. And for this, he's commended and should be. But for those other things that he did and left lacking, he's that lukewarm individual that really doesn't make an impression in very many people's lives. His dilemma. He's in a dilemma. How am I going to go tell Ahab that I've met Elijah? And if Elijah leaves, I'm going to die. So he has his devotion, he has his deeds, and he has his dilemma. What's he going to do? And so, as the story progresses, Elijah tells him in verse number 14, "Go tell thy servant, behold, Elijah is here." And Obadiah says, "If I do that, he'll slay me." Verse number 15, Elijah said, "As the Lord of hosts liveth before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him." Next two words is when? Today. He's going to see me today. So Obadiah, you don't have to worry. I'm not going to run like you run. I'm not going to hide like you hide. I'm not going to draw back. You go tell your Lord, you go tell Ahab, your sovereign, that Elijah is here and I'm going to meet him today. What courage it would take for Elijah to do that and to say that. Verse 16, so Obadiah went and met Ahab and told him. Didn't waste any time. Ahab went to meet Elijah. Obadiah says, I met him, here he is. He didn't talk about much of the conversation, I'm sure. But here we find his the service that Obadiah did. In these verses 5 and 6, we find that Ahab says to Obadiah, go find grass, go find water. That's his service. Wouldn't it have been a lot better for him to be proclaiming the word of God, but he's out finding grass and water? How low has he come? This is his service now. Elijah is a servant of God, and he's serving the Lord. And he has a message, and he has boldness, and he says, you go tell him, I'll be right here. I'm waiting for him. So Obadiah, he's out hunting grass and water while Elijah is waiting for the arch enemy of Israel and the arch enemy of Elijah. He's waiting for Ahab to show up. He wasn't going to run. He wasn't going to compromise. He wasn't going to turn. There'd already been enough of that done from this man that says he feared the Lord greatly. And so he has a servant, service now. His service is unto his Lord, Ahab. That's all he can serve. That's all he can really do because he hasn't sold out to God. So he is employed by the wrong people. He is engaged in the wrong activity. Ahab and Obadiah, they're just out looking for substance to live, for their mules and for their horses, for all those things to live. Obadiah is sort of like the man that we read of in the Old Testament also by the name of Lot. Lot sold out in order to have the gain of Sodom and Gomorrah. He did not improve Sodom, even though he set at the gate. He was one of the rulers. He wasn't anyone that helped the families around him because they all were so wicked against God that he had no dealings and no influence upon them. He lost everything except his life. And Obadiah is a prime example of another man in the Old Testament that's not sold out to God. A compromiser. One that does not stand for truth. Obadiah found himself in a position that was in direct disobedience to the Lord. What did Obadiah, the man that feared the Lord greatly, what was he doing in the household of Ahab that hated the Lord greatly? You can't make them match. The only thing that can come from that is sorrow. The only thing that can come from that is defeat and disgust. He was guilty of helping this man, Ahab and Jezebel, commit sin against God and God's people. He was a helper in that. He has now reduced himself to the place of what the scripture calls a hireling. He just does it for what he can get. He may have known God, but he didn't know anything about the power of God like Elijah. These two chapters greatly contrast two men. One, a believer sold out to God. One, a believer sold out to his Lord, which was Ahab. And so we find tonight that Obadiah is in a strange place. How many times we've found ourselves in a strange place spiritually? So many times it comes that way. And you'll notice, and I'm probably getting ahead of myself a little bit, but you'll notice when Elijah meets the prophets of Baal, you know what? He's standing how? Alone. Wonder where Obadiah was that day. Wonder where Obadiah was when Elijah was cutting off the heads of the prophets of Baal. Wonder where Obadiah was when he heard and when he called the fire down from God. Wonder where Obadiah was when he prayed those 63 words and the fire of God fell. He possibly could have been right there because Ahab was. And so here's this man. He has his good points, but he's gone down now in history as a compromiser that's not willing to stand, not willing to do, not willing to even fight. All he can do is go tell his Lord, Elijah's here. Because Elijah's going to fight the battle. Elijah's going to be the one that stands alone. And he's going to taunt and tease and bring problems to those prophets of Baal and said, oh, maybe Baal's asleep now, or maybe he's on a trip. Maybe he's not here. There's no fire coming down. And so Elijah is the man of God. Counterpoint of that, Obadiah is a man of compromise and could have been and should have been standing there with Elijah. God help us not to be Obadiah. We need to be like Elijah. Because we're going to face every day of our life, we're going to face the Ahabs of this world. We're going to face that crowd that despises God. We're going to face that crowd that despises us because we trust God. And we can be like Obadiah, or we can be like Elijah. No wonder Elijah said, why halt you between two opinions? If God be God, then we will honor him and we'll serve him. Elijah came to all the people and said, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. I wonder, possibly, could Elijah have been looking at Obadiah when he said that? How long? And we see nothing here, much, nothing else out of Obadiah. Let's stand together tonight.